Opening tomorrow night at the Modern Theater Spokane is Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, running for 2 weeks, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at 7:30, Sunday afternoon at 2. There's a lot of music throughout Twelfth Night. Here's a little bit that's used in various forms, a song called Here, Farewell, Dear Love.
If she come no more, shall I die therefore? come no more, what care I? Faith, let her go or come or tarry.
A couple of the musicians of the globe, the singer baritone Roderick Williams and the lutenist Jacob Herringman, doing that song from Twelfth Night called Farewell, Dear Love. Folks from Twelfth Night are with me, this wonderful collaboration that opens tomorrow night. Let's begin with Jeff Sanders, whose project it is, isn't it? You take full responsibility?
It is my fault.
Yeah. And you're kind of on a roll because you did Shakespeare last summer also.
Yes, last summer was our first foray into this summer Shakespeare collaboration. Between EW Theater, and at that time was Interplayers, now the Modern Theater. Last year we did a Midsummer Night's Dream, and which I directed, also moonlighted in the role of Bottom as well in that production, and we're back with Twelfth Night this summer.
And start a little bit with the philosophy of why to do it, from the practical to the educational to the everything.
Well, I guess, you know, Orsino, a character from Twelfth Night, describes his love for Olivia as being as hungry as the sea. And for me, that kind of best describes my passion for working on these plays. I am obsessed with this work. And I love sharing it with my students. I love sharing it with audiences. And that starts the whole ball rolling. It's that love of doing this work, because it sets the bar high as a challenge, and the payoff can be quite huge as well. Also, from an educational standpoint, it allows my students to have their first step into the professional world. They get to work alongside with professional actors like Bill and Sarah, and they get to play not just spear carrier to the left, but they get to take on really plum roles in a intense, rigorous professional atmosphere, because we're putting up this play in 2.5 weeks. We are doing 10, 11, 12-hour days every day in the rehearsal hall. Blood, sweat, and tears putting on these plays. And so they get that experience, where in the university level they have 8 weeks, mm-hmm. and we take a good deal of time. We have 2 weeks of table work where we just sit around and, you know, talk about what this word means and this line. Here we kind of, one day of table work, we're up on our feet, and we're cooking this play. Yeah.
Well, and with that in mind, that it is a collaboration, let's bring in the two actors who are with me, Bill Marlowe and Sarah Edlin Marlowe, who are in this play. And just each of you kind of respond to what has just been talked about, because I know you also have produced a lot of Shakespeare at SFCC, and you jump into it. So what are the issues? What are the things that can be really accomplished beautifully by a collaboration like this?
I think that this is an opportunity to bring two different disciplines, the discipline at Eastern Washington Drama and Spokane Falls Community College Drama, together, and it's exciting for our students. One of our students is also in the show. Three faculty members, myself, Sarah, and Josephine Keefe, are having opportunities to work with our faculty and friends and students at EWU, and that's a wonderful opportunity for all of us, and also I think for the community, to be able to put on such an exciting, beautiful, warm, and funny play as Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
And so I think with that we should all launch into why Twelfth Night, and what are the unique virtues of Twelfth Night for this purpose?
Well, you know, this play is really a unique comedy for Shakespeare. It's really his last pure comedy. And although this play is, you'll gut laugh a lot, and I can tell you right now, I have tears rolling down my cheeks every day in the rehearsal hall every time Bill makes his entrance. Conversely, on the other side of this play, there is this enormous passion and heartbreak that underlines all the action of it. So you have this beautiful dichotomy within this play. And I think all great art has contrast. And so while you laugh and you have this kind of farcical experience, on the other end, man, you get sucked in the gut with some really big emotions that surprise you. And after Twelfth Night, Shakespeare then started hammering out a lot of tragedies. We know historically that, you know, his child had died right before he wrote this play, just chronologically. So that's, I think, some of what's going on beneath this whole play about the twins. So, you know, you get this kind of full spectrum of the experience that's really exciting.
Yeah. And let's talk about the roles that the two actors in the room, Bill Marlowe and Sarah Edlin, have. You can either describe your own role or you can be jumped on by the other people to describe your role. Who are you, Sarah?
Am Mariah. Mariah is very interesting. Well, Jeff has taken, I think, an interesting twist with Mariah. There's that sense of villainy, if you will, because she is really the instigator, she and Toby, to this subplot, which some people consider the main plot of Twelfth Night, but we are the clowns, ostensibly. And Bill plays Sir Toby, who's the resident drunk, and I'm his
I resemble that remark.
You do. And I'm his girlfriend.
Okay. Well, there we go. And I understand that we could now get Sir Toby and the girlfriend into the room. Is that possible?
We can. We should set it up a little bit by saying that Toby he spends a great deal of time within the play drinking or thinking about drinking or recovering from having been out the night before drinking. And so at the top of the play, Mariah has found various pieces of my clothing scattered about Olivia's house, and she comes in and finds me passed out in the courtyard. And she wakes me by pouring what's left of my vodka on my forehead. And so this is our first scene in the play. And she wakes me up and I say, oh, what a plague means my niece to take the death of her brother thus. I'm sure care's an enemy to life.
By my troth, Sir Toby, you must come in earlier of nights. Your cousin, my lady, takes great exception to your ill hours.
I let her accept before accepted.
Aye, but you must confine yourself to the modest limits of order.
Confine? I'll confine myself no finer than I am. These clothes are good enough to drink in, and so be these boots too. And they be not, let them hang themselves in their own straps.
That coughing and drinking will undo you. I heard my lady talk of it yesterday, and of a foolish knight that you brought in here one night to be her wooer.
Who? Sir Andrew Aguecheek?
Aye, he.
He's as tall a man as any's in Illyria.
What's that to the purpose?
Why, he has 3,000 ducats a year.
Aye, but he'll be but a year in all these ducats. He's a very fool and a prodigal.
By this hand, they are scoundrels and subtractors that say so of him. Who are they?
They that add, moreover, that he's drunk nightly in your company.
With drinking healths to my niece. I'll drink to her as long as there's a passage in my throat, and drink in Illyria. What, wench? Oh, Castigliano Volgo, for here comes Sir Andrew Agueface. And then Andrew comes in and interrupts us, and then the party starts all over again at 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the morning.
And he, Andrew, poor Andrew, seems to be the butt of every joke in the play. But fortunately, the young actor who's playing him is really very good, Chris Mudd, and he's doing a delightful job.
You know, what's really interesting about the Aguecheek's character is I've seen it in many different, characterizations on stage, but I think what Chris brings to it is he just plays the simple fact that he's the guy that's always trying to get in on the joke but never quite understands really what the joke is. And so there's a kind of innocent... lost in the woods quality to him on stage that doesn't overwork it, doesn't push it too far, just is, and it's absolutely delightful.
And the three people who are with me, Jeff Sanders was just speaking, he is the director of this Twelfth Night production, which is which opens tomorrow night at Modern Theater Spokane, then Bill Marlowe and Sarah Edlin, who were just doing that wonderful scene. Always that kind of, you know, tension working thing. You're all professionals and all that, but Bill, you haven't been on stage for a while. In a play, you direct a lot of plays. Sarah directs a lot of plays. Do you ever kind of have Jeff suggest something that you didn't know quite was the way you wanted to do it?
Oh, Jeff and I are actually rather dangerous together.
They are.
He's put a couple of things in the play, and he said, would you mind or would you consider? And I go, oh, yes, absolutely. So I appreciate his creative input. It's been 17 years since Sarah and I have been on stage together.
Wow.
And it's 7 years since I've actually been on stage as an actor. So I'm really looking forward to reintroducing myself as an actor to the Spokane stage.
And you can still remember lines.
Yes, actually. This is my Fahrenheit 451 play. When I was in high school, a bunch of us decided we would memorize something. And I chose Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. So this is my 10th time actually doing this particular Shakespeare play, and it's my favorite one.
You know what's so great about it, too? you know, aside from this kind of simpatico that kind of happens, there's one particular time in the rehearsal hall, I won't give away the bit, where I had an inspiration for a little bit for Bill to do, and I said, Bill, I got something, and he says, I do too. And I said, you tell me first what's in your mind, and he said the exact same thing that was in mine. You know, and so there is that.
We're wicked together.
You know what I mean? It was like, yes, good. But, you know, Bill, you hear someone taking on a role, you know, this is his 10th time doing Twelfth Night, and you're thinking, well, that must seem maybe perhaps like it seems like there's dust on the cover or something when he's on stage. And you never once get that experience. It feels like the first time, every time. Very alive, brand new character. I'm sure he's bringing things to it that even surprise him now.
Well, the secret, Jeff, is to always wear tighter underwear.
Yes, just, you know, just really make it tight and squeezed. No. but that's the really mark of a great artist, is that, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's the first time, every time. Mm. And you carry that immediacy to the stage. And I think that's going to come across. You know, conversely, it's my first Twelfth Night, which, you know, is interesting because having come from working in a Shakespeare company for many years and doing Shakespeare all the time, you'd think at some point I would have come across this one, you know, at some point. You know, I've seen it on stage, I've read it, but I've never been a director or an actor in it. So that kind of was interesting for me because I didn't have any preconceived notion about how this production should be done. It was really coming to, because even the productions I saw, I couldn't really tell you much about them. You know, it was completely fresh and new to me, which helped inform the immediacy of my vision of it.
And fresh and new, beautiful music. The original music that's been written for the show, Vern, is... We have everything from rock and roll to ballads to jazz to moments that are slightly dark in color. It's just and to listen to David Bullis sing these songs with his exquisite tenor voice that he has. He's playing Arfeste. Okay. He's a student at EWU.
What's his name?
Drama. His name is David Bullis, so he's very, very talented. Yeah.
And then does he have an instrumental accompaniment, or how are you
he
doing
He plays
that?
The guitar and
oh,
sings.
Okay.
I think we should also say, you know, that Jeff has given it a more contemporary feel, this particular Twelfth Night. I mean, when Bill did Twelfth Night just this past winter, it was very traditional.
Very traditional, so Elizabethan. And this one's placed here now today, which really makes it immediate, and the audience is going to be able to get it and relate to it right away. It's such an accessible play.
Yeah, and that's what hit me about, and we get back to the idea of why do this play. I think the reason that hit me about, what struck me about this play is it's centered around a universal dramatic action, just something that we all relate to, which all Shakespeare is based on. But this particular play is a pretty simple action. The dramatic action of this play is centered around, you know, loving someone's spirit, loving someone's essence, not their class, not their gender, not who you should love, but just who you love. And that is such a contemporary thing to me right now. It feels very now, that it just seemed to beg, you know, let's give this a modern rock feel. The music should seem now. And so that when you come into this Shakespeare, so it's not so much when did you set the play, which, to be honest, I'm tired of answering the question. Mm-hmm. Because my answer to it now is just simply, I'm setting this play in this room right now with you, and that's all you need to know, you know, and let it go from there.
Yeah. Twelfth Night, which opens tomorrow night. The sequence is Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2:00. It's Modern Theater Spokane, and it's awfully easy to just Google the Modern Theater and find all the information one needs. And so it was probably a little tricky to get EWU students and SFC students to commit to something in the middle of the summer, or did they want to do it badly enough to do it, or how did the logistics of this work?
Our students and the faculty jumped at the opportunity, especially to work with Jeff, because many of us came to see the production last summer and said, oh, we'd like to do that. Our students want to do more Shakespeare because it's exciting. You know, doing those plays really opens your mind and your world and your heart to what poetry can really do on stage.
Well, and we were hearing that in the bit that you and Sarah did, because it I almost ran into a conflict to be so loving the sound of the words that I'd sometimes forget what they meant. And mm-hmm. is maybe that even one of the challenges of Shakespeare to try to take it all in at once?
I think almost as an audience member, your ear, if you have to do come to the table a little bit with a little level of patience, you know, in terms of trusting the fact that your ear is going to tune to the language. And it's what might seem initially like, whoa, you know, this other world. Eventually, you'll settle in. And I think, you know, if you give yourself that patience, it's going to start coming to you, especially when it's in good hands. And you're going to be in good hands in this mm-hmm. performance. We have such a collection of talent here that know how to handle this text and are getting better at it every day, that I really feel like from a textual standpoint, people are going to get it. So, you know, that's part of it. And as a performer, it's always a question of balance, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes Shakespeare is high poetical. He is. And other times, he's not.
Yeah, sometimes he's lowbrow.
He's totally.
Toby doesn't have a lot of poetry in this,
right?
But he has a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, you know. And
usually it's someone else's expense.
Yeah, so like the character of Orsino, sometimes his language is elevated. It's a little higher, a little more poetical. It suits his character to be so. His emotions are so big, he can't help contain it into just simple text. It elevates mm-hmm. into a kind of higher poetry, where we go into Toby, where it's, you know, it's about, you know, drinking and having fun. And
carousing.
And so it's very, you know, Shakespeare's really good about, you know, if you like great poetry, you like that elevated language, it's going to be there for you. If you like fart jokes and body humor, it's there for you. You know, so that it really covers, he's so masterful at covering the whole thing, so that like everybody's getting a slice of the pie they want.
Nice. Twelfth Night, which opens tomorrow night, Modern Theater, Spokane. And thank you very much, Jeff Sanders.
Thank you.
For coming in, Bill Marlowe.
Thank you, Vern.
And Sarah Edlin.
Thank you.
Who are going to be part of this, what sounds like amazing performance. The most famous song, which almost defines the Elizabethan era, is O Mistress Mine. We'll hear the Thomas Morley sung, and then we'll hear a William Byrd set of variations for Virgil of O Mistress Mine.
O Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? O Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? O stay and hear your true love's coming. Oh, stay and hear your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting, journey's end in lover's meeting, every wise man's son doth know. Trip no further, pretty sweeting, journey's end in lover's meeting, every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty, then come kiss me, sweet and twenty, youth's a stuff will not endure. In delay there lies no plenty, then come kiss me, sweet and twenty,